a church of Sardis, we discussed Christ's important exhortation to strengthen that which remains and to remember what you have heard. And then against that get-along culture of Sardis, to which even the church had capitulated in its worship of God, they had thereby earned the name as the dead church. And they looked good on the outside. They were liked by all. In fact, maybe they were well attended. Maybe all the pews were full. But Christ says they were dead on the inside. And so today we're going to examine Christ's second admonition to the church at Sardis, which is to wake up. Who's awake today? Is anyone awake in here? Okay, good. Good. Revelation 3, verse 2. Please follow along with me. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know what hour I come against you. Amen. Wake up. And today I want you to think about what it means as a Christian to wake up. What if Jesus came to you and his word was, wake up? Well, that would be a little discouraging. You'd probably say, come on, I am awake, Jesus. Are you awake? As the King James or New King James says, be watchful. Be watchful. Let's recall that in the city of Sardis, they had compromised their faith by neglecting to preach the exclusivity of Christ in the gospel. They weren't preaching that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. They were preaching that Jesus was a way. Does that sound familiar sometimes? So while they appeared faithful, Christ said they were dead and they were asleep. Really reminds us of a passage from 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, speaking of the Lord's return, speaks very directly of this idea of awake versus sleeping. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet, the hope of salvation. See, we are not to be asleep. This is what the unbeliever is, asleep, blind, spiritually unaware of what's going on. Like Sardis, dead, unaware of the judgment and the coming of Christ. And this is why he will come like a thief in the night. As Christians, the godly person is filled with faith, hope, and love. We're looking, we're leaning in, we're straining towards God. Not asleep, but awake. Awake and alive, watching for the work of God, anticipating, expecting. Right? It's a good way to describe what we should be is that we are pregnant with the living hope of God in our souls. What do we say when we see a pregnant woman? Oh, she's expecting. That's right. She certainly is expecting something to happen. And that's what we are. We are expecting our God to work. We're looking for it. We're listening. We're taking every opportunity. We're reading his truth. We're praying. We're participating, engaging. We're coming to do business with Jesus, right? I could say I wore a suit today because I'm here to do business with Jesus. Are you? I hope so, whatever you're wearing. Psalm 84, which our brother Josh said mentioned in the email for the order of worship today. Psalm 84 says, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Are you yearning, reaching, crying out for God? See, the church at Sardis was more interested in keeping pace with the culture around them, pleasing it, collaborating with it. And so in that way, they were slowly lulled to sleep like a frog in a pot of boiling water. A little compromise here, a little step closer to sin here, fallen asleep. But as believers, the love of Christ compels us to be looking, to be aware, to be awake, to be men and women of the day, awake to the spiritual world that is around us, and more importantly, that we are actively anticipating Christ's ruling and reigning work right here in our lives. You know, one of the most incredible things you might have noticed about Christ's words to the seven churches in Revelation is how their spiritual reality mirrored their physical circumstances. So we read through Revelation 2 and 3 and we go, well, Jesus, those are really neat, you know, creative illustrations that you're using. But the reality is they weren't illustrations to those churches. They were reality to them. They were what was happening. And so it was with Sardis. Jesus said, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief. Because along with their compromising approach, they were comfortable in close dealings with the other gods of the day. They were complacent with the culture around them and even made strides to appease it, to mingle with it. See, the church at Sardis knew exactly what Christ meant when he said, he will come like a thief, not knowing the hour I will come. Because this is the pitfall history of the church at Sardis. See, long ago, before this was even written to the church, there was a king called King Croesus. And King Croesus was the wealthiest king in all the region. And so he built this gigantic fortress that was just impenetrable called Sardis in order to protect himself and keep him safe. And he built it in such a way that no army could take it. And he was right. Because when King Cyrus came through to conquer the land, Cyrus couldn't take the city. They couldn't. So they put the city in siege and just camped around it. But one night, one of Cyrus's men noticed a soldier walking on top of the wall of the city of Sardis. And he looked down and he dropped his helmet. His helmet fell off his head and fell all the way down. So what did he do? He went down in the wall. There was a secret passage of stairs and a secret door. He went out, got his helmet, and went back up. And so now Cyrus knew the key. And so what did he do? He had his whole army go to the other side of the city. So Croesus' army went to that side of the city, a distraction, a smoke bomb. And his special forces went in that hidden door and took the city like a thief in the night. Just when King Croesus thought he was safe, he was not. But the thing about Sardis is that it didn't just happen once, it happened twice. After that, after Cyrus took and destroyed the city, they rebuilt it eventually. And they rebuilt this impregnable fortification, but now the Persians came. The Persians came and attacked their city. But again, the Persians couldn't penetrate it, so they did the same thing. They camped around the city and waited. But some of the Persian soldiers noticed that on one far corner of the city wall, vultures always circled this corner of the city wall. And then they watched carefully, and they saw that's where the soldiers within the city of Sardis would throw the dead bodies outside. And they were kind of piling up there. So the vultures were always there. And what they found was that side of the city, that part of the wall, was really not protected because it really wasn't a fun place to be. And so sure enough, the Persians entered there and took over the city. And so yet again, just when they thought they were safe, they were not. So Jesus reaches back into their history books and gives this warning. There was a physical reality. I will come like a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come against you unless you wake up. Wake up. You think you are safe, but you're not. And this is something for us to consider, brothers and sisters. How self-confident are we? Do we play a bit too close to the trappings, the temptations, the attractions of the day? Maybe do we get a bit complacent and comfortable in life? Remember, Sardis had grown comfortable with their close dealings with the gods of the day. And it's in this place where we think we're safe, but we're not. Maybe we're overzealously self-confident. We can become vulnerable, trusting in the arm of the flesh, focused on pleasing men, lulled to sleep by the enticing attractions. May we instead be awake and trade a self-focused reliance for a Christ-focused confidence and reliance. Notice also in verse 4 what Christ says and gives promises. You have a few names in Sardis who have not defiled their garments, that they should walk with me in white, for they are worthy. So what had happened? Most of the church in Sardis had defiled their garments. What does that bring to mind? Maybe an image of brushing up against something and getting dirty, right? That happens to us, right? Maybe when you're eating, you've stained your clothes, or you brush up against paint on a wall. Maybe you get a little too friendly with the world, too close to the gods and played with them. When we collaborate with the world and dabble in its truth, we get dirty. We get affected. Now, to some degree, that's inevitable, right? That's inevitable on this side of heaven. But we must be on guard. And that was Christ's call to Sardis. We must be awake. We must be watching. We must be aware. We must be men and women of the day. As we're exhorted in James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphan and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Again, a warning against this worldly Christianity, a religion that has no problem immersing itself in the world, which contaminates, defiles, and stains. But true believers, by the grace of God, we are in the world indeed, but we strive to keep ourselves unspotted. And because our affections are not with the attractions of the world, but with those that Christ has given us to minister to, those hurting, those in need, those with whom we can share the love and genuine comforts of Christ. Well, in conclusion, Christ's answer to the church at Sardis is found in verse 3. Hold fast and repent. Let me just say, we speak of repentance a lot, don't we? But I can tell you, and we've talked about this on the session, one important aspect of repentance is, if you're sinning, not to just turn in a different direction. Repentance is turning 180 degrees away from the sin, amen? We turn away from it completely. Repentance is a exposing of the sin. It's a godly sorrow over, a confession, a turning around. So if one were to struggle with a sin, it's being above reproach in the opposite direction of righteousness. Like Daniel, right? You remember Daniel? The satraps could find nothing of which to accuse him, so they had to make something up. He was blameless. And that's our striving. Christ concludes with a strong encouragement for believers in verse 5. He says, "He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and his angels." Christ is saying, hold fast, guard, watch, and wake up, because this truth will be attacked. This is a great picture for the saints at Sardis, because in ancient victory processions, the conqueror, the victor, would come out and lead the procession, and his followers would be clothed in white robes, celebrating the victory. Christ is saying he's the victor, and we will walk in that victory procession with him. So we must stay with him. We must watch. We must wake up. We must look, expect, trust, and believe. Now, as we enter our time of confession, may the Spirit now convict us of where we fail to wake up, to be watchful, to be sober, to be anticipating and expecting the hope of God. And if we brush up against the evil trappings of the day, may we be convicted of the spiritual reality, the battle at hand, and be men and women of the day, putting on that breastplate of faith and love as the hope of salvation. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for these lessons from the church at Sardis. Thank you for your words, God, for this church at Sardis, that we are to wake up, we are to be aware, we are to recognize the deep, sober battle that is raging on, but that you have placed us into with victory through Christ, with the conqueror leading the procession before us, that we will stand with white robes, and our name will never be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, as we take a moment now to confess our sins to you, would your Spirit now convict, God, of how we need to be open, men and women of the day, recognizing, seeing with spiritual eyes, hearing with ears that are open of what you have for us to grow and to glorify you in all things. We take a moment now to individually confess our sins to you.